You got to show up oozy, was the phrase that I wrote down from the Canoeing the Mountains conference a couple of weeks ago that a group of us went to. The speaker and the author, Todd Bolsinger, used this phrase to describe vulnerability. He and his wife had taken a blacksmithing class, of all things, and they learned about the process of tempering. So tempering the steel, in order for it to be shaped, has to reach this state, an in-between state, so that it's not too loose and too formless, but it's also not brittle. So it's this oozy phase where it can then actually be shaped and formed. That's the sweet spot that he was talking about in being oozy, showing up oozy. And he and at this conference used this metaphor to talk about being vulnerable in prayer, being vulnerable in our lives following Jesus. So it was fun to turn to this scripture this week and to think, oh, Jesus was giving his disciples instructions on how to be oozy, how to be vulnerable in prayer, and how to pray. I think Jesus was seeing what we'd be familiar with now, too. Prayer said without thought, worship of God out of guilt and shame, or to be seen rather than to be changed and formed by God. And there were lots of requirements for prayer and worship back when Jesus was alive. In the first century, and he seems to think that they needed a new way. They needed a new pattern of practice that would disrupt their current pattern of practice. So he says to his disciples, pray like this. And he sets out a path for them to get oozy. So he first says, you address God like you would someone you love more than you can even really name. So this word Father, the word behind it is Abba in Greek. And that means, that's closer to saying Daddy than it is Father, that more formal sounding word, right? So it's like he's telling us, say, you know, find that term of endearment you use for the one you love, Daddy or Mommy or Opa or Beloved or Love or fill in the blank. Right? Pray to that person. Pray to that name that stirs your heart. Now, back in the first century, the Jewish people believed that the earth was God's house. We can still believe that, right? I can get behind that. And so they prayed to Father, that language. They used that daddy language because that's who ordered the house. So let that free your imagination to think about who orders your house. Let that free your imagination to think of that term of ordering the house. So if we want God to order God's house, think how, what a powerful prayer that is right out of the gate. And we're just in the first few words. The other word I want to highlight is our. So right away, it's not just about you and Jesus, but it's this God of all of us. It's this daddy of all of us. It's this mommy of all of us. It's the God whose house we are all in. So we're sent right away into the lives of each other. Whether we like it or not, this prayer says, no, this is a prayer that we all pray and are sent into each other's lives. And then right away, hallowed be your name. It's like that we're going to stake something on God's name, this holy name. Like something really is at stake in this prayer. The way we live our lives and the way God is active in our lives, how we're living, we stake it on God's holy name. So something important is going to happen in this prayer, right? Something important. Your kingdom come, your will be done, not ours. Our kingdom rules are terrible. Have you looked around? Have you seen all the violence and the hurting and the hungry kids? Right? Our kingdom, our will, gets us into a lot of trouble. But God doesn't do away with us. We pray that God's will and God's kingdom will come so that we can experience peace and love and wholeness and forgiveness. That's God's will. That's the ordering of God's house right? Those are the rules that God plays by. That's what we're praying for. It's not ours, but God's. And then on earth as it is in heaven, so it's like this separation that the Jewish people believed in. The dome of the heavens separated from the earth would come together and get oozy right there. That on earth as it is in heaven, that heaven would come to earth right now. That God's will for peace and freedom would be known, not tomorrow, not when we die, not up in the sky by and by, but on earth as it is in heaven right now. Right now. Now, the next line is also in the now. Give us today our daily bread. Not only physical bread, not only food that keeps us alive, but also just the stuff we need. The stuff we need to live. Give us today what it is we need to live. And what that prayer says is that it's not just what we have then that we need to live, but that everybody needs to live, right? So as you look back at that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're thinking future. We want it to come, but we're saying bring it here now. Give us today our daily bread is now. And then we get into the past. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Think about what happens to you when you are indebted to someone else. Emotionally, physically, monetarily. Think what happens to your relationships. When someone's keeping a tally sheet on you of what you owe, gets warped, right? Our relationships get damaged when that happens in unhealthy ways. When something is held over you as you owe me this, right? So then that keeps us in the past. That keeps us clinging to what happened. What happened that you can't undo, that you're now living with in the here and now. What happened then is now impacting today, your daily bread, whether you have it or not. So this prayer propels us into the future, it grounds us in the now, and it tries to release us from the grip of the past. This powerful prayer that's telling us to get oozy, right? That's leading us into places of vulnerability because it's asking us, this prayer is asking us to do something. It's asking us to pray with our feet, as Kurt reminded us. It's asking us to engage in this life with God. That we will be active in making God's kingdom come, God's will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, right here, right now. That we are called into actively praying this prayer. Now, how this prayer ends in Matthew. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? That's how we would say it. So it's sort of like Jesus knows this, the prayer preceding these last lines is all about the future and now, and releasing us from our past. But it's like Jesus knows, yeah, and then you're going to wander off, and you're not going to do it right. But you'll be rescued from the evil one. It's not all for nothing. You're not on your own. You'll be forgiven. You'll be brought back. You'll be brought back. This prayer takes us to the heart of vulnerability, to the heart of trusting in God, to the heart of trusting in each other, and to loving each other, taking that risk to be called into one another's lives. How risky that is. And how that does make us say yes to vulnerability when we pray to God. This is what Brené Brown says about vulnerability. She's one of my favorites. Vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. So it's why any leaders at River of Hope that sit on tables, it's why we go around and we share highs and lows. It's because we point out where God is with us when it's good and where God is with us when it's bad. For us or for the world, right? It's why we talk about scripture, so that we can connect to this in ways that make us oozy, where we just say, oh, this is hard. And it's where we're transformed. We're brought to that place where then where we're shaped, where we're right in the spot where our lives and our hearts, our beings can actually be transformed for the sake of the world, for the whole world, not just for you and I, but for the world. It can be so hard to go to God in prayer and to be vulnerable and to not just say the same words that we just know, right? Although there's power in that too, right? When you see people with dementia, people who can't have it spoken in months or even years, and they can say the Lord's Prayer. There is such depth in that. There is such profound vulnerability in that, isn't there? But what is it to be able to also turn to God and say, I got nothing. It's just you and me, God. Because then that's where God can come in and shape your heart and change your life and remind you that you're not forgotten, that you're beloved, that you're a child of God, and that God will always teach you how to pray. God will always bring you to that place of absolute ooziness, absolute vulnerability, so that you can see that God is with you in the good and in the bad. Now, isn't that the best news you've heard all day? And we say, thanks be to God. Amen.